of all names, Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again for me and for you. Amen. Praise be to his name. Brothers and sisters, I'm grateful to be able to be here based off of Pastor David's invitation. I've come to be here with you all to rejoice with you, to pray with you all, and to worship together at different times. But praise be to God, I'm grateful for the invitation to be here this morning. With that said, I'd like to invite us to open up the Word of God that will be read this morning for the message that will be addressed. And I'd like to invite us to read from Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read a couple verses, starting with verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. And the Word of God says as follows. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Amen. You guys may be seated. If we look at the life of Jesus within the four Gospels, we will understand that Jesus was a man of prayer. Even though he was God come in the flesh, who did not need or lack one thing, anything spiritual, anything physical, he was undoubtedly a man that, despite being God, prayed, and prayed a lot. And we find that Jesus was a man that prayed like no other because of the evidence of what we see in his life of what happened after he prayed. When Jesus prayed, he was a man that spoke, and people said, "I haven't heard a man like this speak before in my life." When he prayed, people were healed. And when he taught, people gained wisdom, and they grew and were transformed at heart. And we find that people marveled at Jesus because when he prayed, he gained a response. And Jesus' prayers were not merely outward like the Pharisees. People caught on and recognized that he prayed differently. And his prayers had weight to them because they produced fruit. While Jesus was on the earth, he prayed in an impactful way that eventually got his disciples to come up to him and to ask him, "Lord, Rabbi, teacher, teach us how to pray. We notice and see that when you pray, things happen. We notice that when you pray differently. We notice something about your prayer life. Teach us, Lord, for we don't know how to pray." Up until that point, all that Jesus' disciples knew about Jesus was that he would go to a solitary place, like we read in this passage, and he would pray. He would go alone, he would go in the quiet, and he would pray, but they did not know what he did while he prayed. And because of this, they wanted to know. The question I want to ask us all this morning is this: have you ever wondered how Jesus prayed? And have you ever wanted to know how to pray like Jesus did? I believe it's a question that we've all asked ourselves, knowing that sometimes prayer gets difficult. Sometimes prayer is sometimes something that we don't feel drawn to do at times. But when we see a man or a woman of God pray and we see how God intervenes in their life, at times it draws us to ask this question: how can I pray in this way? How could I pray like Jesus prayed? And because we have this question this morning, I want to go over addressing this question of how can we pray like Jesus prayed. Because I think at times, we oftentimes look at Jesus and we think it's impossible to reach that level of prayer that he had because he was God. And because he was God, he prayed and God answered. Because he was Christ, the Son of God, he got answers. But I want us to understand that it wasn't just because he was the Son of God that he had answers to his prayers. Because I tell you, in the book of James, in chapter 5, verse 17, it says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and yet he prayed fervently, And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. A bizarre thing to think about, that a man would pray and God would withhold the rain for 3 years and 6 months because he prayed. There's obviously a question we have to ask here. How do we pray in a way like this? We see also, after Jesus' death and resurrection, when Peter and John prayed for the lame man at the temple, he was healed. Not with a very long prayer, but a simple prayer. When Peter and John saw the lame man, they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Elijah prayed fervently. Peter and John prayed simply, but they got answers. How do you pray? Is the question that we have to ask ourselves. When Hannah in the book of Samuel prayed, we see that she had a very broken prayer. She came before the Lord, not having children, unable to bear children, and she came before him crying, speaking with just her mouth moving. But she got an answer to her prayer, although people ridiculed her and thought she was drunk because she was speaking with her mouth, but not hearing anything. How did she get an answer? How did people throughout all of Scripture in their prayer life gain an answer through their prayers? What was it that made these people's prayer life powerful? Was it simply because Jesus was the Son of God? Was it because Elijah's prayers were fervent? Was it because Peter and John received power at Pentecost? Or was it like Hannah because she was sincere? These are all important questions to ask. And therefore, since these are questions that I believe we ask at times this morning with a message that the Lord has put on my heart, I want to look into the Word of God this morning and through what we find in Scripture, come to a deeper realization and an understanding of what are some ways that we could improve our prayer life so that we can see effects within our life. And therefore, with this, the title of my message this morning is this: How to Pray Effectively as a Child of God. And with this said, the first point I want to go over is this. In order for us to pray effectively as children of God, our prayers must be kingdom focused on God's will, not our own. Now, for some of us, this may be a surprise, but it is biblical. Oftentimes, we think we need to come before the Lord and we need to present to him our petitions, those things that are pressing in our life. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I have this sickness in my life. I need you to come through for me and to help me. The focus is on you. The focus is on your problem. But we find that Jesus, in the exemplary prayer that he teaches his disciples when they asked him to teach them how to pray, the very first thing that was mentioned in the Lord's Prayer was, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Simple. So many times we make prayer complicated, but in order for us to understand the secret to prayer, this is the first and most important thing that we must understand. His kingdom and his righteousness are the things that we must pursue and seek in order for everything else to make sense. Because this is the goal, brothers and sisters. Our goal on earth that we have been called to in the ministry that Christ has imparted to us, his ministry, is to go out into the world and to preach to people the good news of the gospel. To preach to them that Christ Jesus, the one who was God, who came down in the flesh, died for us, for our sin, for our shame, that we through him would have a new life through him. This is the goal, the task. And for all of us who have received Christ within our life, we rejoice what God has done for us in our life. How much more do we have to rejoice and we have to be pondering and seeking for others to find that joy as well through knowing Christ? It's a kingdom agenda that we're all called to. At times, I believe in our life, we flip up the script and we focus on prayer in the wrong order. We come to God and we ask him what we need, but we never ask him, "God, what do you want? God, what do you want from me? God, what do you desire from me? What is your task that you have for me in my purpose that I have here on the earth?" It's a question that we need to ask. And I want us to understand that the Bible gives us a wonderful and precious promise for those of us who are seeking first his kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it tells us here in Jesus' words, as Jesus was talking to the people who were worrying about so many different things in life, all the worries and cares of life, he said to them, "Do not worry about these things, but first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Here is the secret. Here is the key to answered prayers for us in our life. When we are seeking first God's kingdom, when our priorities are set straight on that which needs to be prioritized, God will prioritize us. God will look at us, and for those who are his children, who cry out to him day and night, he will come speedily to you because you are walking out in your purpose, and there is nothing that you should lack. In order for us to have effective prayers, we must prioritize what needs to be prioritized when we pray. Psalm 37, verse 4 says it also in a different way, very wonderfully. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we focus on the desires of our heart, and we don't receive them. But the Bible tells us here, when we focus on God, on Christ Jesus, who, when we gave our life to him, we said we love him so much and we're so thankful for him. When we make him the desire of our hearts and we don't forget about him and we cherish him for who he should be cherished for in our life, he comes through and can entrust you with the delights and the desires of your heart. Because he sees that you value him first. You know your purpose, you know your calling, and you know how to stay in line and do what matters most. How could we apply this to our life? How can we seek first the kingdom more in our life? How can we have this kingdom mindset, agenda, focus in our lives? One thing that I found that is important for us to do is pray more that God would reveal to you what your purpose here is on earth. And in a general sense, I want to say this is very simple. We're all called to evangelize and proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ. If we haven't been doing that, that's the first kingdom agenda that God has on mind for us. Not to just be people who come into the church and are grateful that he saved us, but to be those who see those on the spiritual train that are going off of the hill to say, you know what, I want to go in and save them. I want to go in and pull them out from going off that cliff because you know what, Jesus loves them too. Prioritize that. And secondly, following that, ask God, what's his personal purpose that he has with you in your life? What is God's personal call on your life? Because I believe if we're walking in God's call, his purpose that he has for me and for you, God can entrust our prayers to be answered more because we are not diverting. We are walking in the calling that he has for our life. Pray that God will not just grant you what you need, but give you the power to do what he's calling you to do. And with this, may the Lord help us to seek first his kingdom. This is the first thing we must do for our prayers to be effective. The second thing that we must do in order for us to pray effectively as children of God is we must establish a quiet place within our lives to hear his voice. If we look at Jesus's life from the passage that we read, we see that he made it a habit to withdraw from people, the noise, everything that was going on around him so that he can connect with God. And the problem that we're faced with today is this, that a lot of us, the people of God, even normal people in the world, are constantly being pulled for their attention to focus on all sorts of other things. And we've all noticed this. There's a lot of noise. The phone's ringing, the messages going, the direct messages, whatever it might be, the job, the needs that you have, the children in your life. There's a lot of demand for your focus. And we see that Jesus, through his life, wants to portray to us in his word that it's so important for us, especially in the days that we live, to learn how to withdraw from the noise and to find that quiet place so God can speak to us. And why is this important, we may be asking. Why is it important for me to go into that prayer closet? It's not a fun place. I don't like to be there. I don't like to be there because I can't move around a lot. It doesn't matter where you go to pray, but it's important for us to have a place where we can withdraw so that we can hear God's voice. Because our Father in heaven is not like the enemy who calls out to you and speaks loudly, constantly trying to get your attention. Our Father is a gentleman. He is a Father who is gentle at heart. And he oftentimes wants to speak to us gently because he wants to nurture our hearts. He wants to tend to our hearts. And a lot of times we're not used to understanding or we're not familiar with that nurturing, soft, caring voice of God. So many times we tune him out and we can't hear him. Because Jesus speaks in a still small voice at times. because he wants our attention. Have you ever seen somebody do that to you? There's a lot of noise, and they can be trying to get your attention. They can try to raise their voice, but they realize there's nothing I can really do because they still won't hear me. But they speak with a small voice, and then that person wonders, wait, what did he say? That's what God wants from us. He wants us to say, you know what? I feel like God is speaking to me. Let me withdraw. I want to hear his voice. And praise God that he does speak to us. We oftentimes are looking for God to speak in a great way. But scripture tells us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, wonderfully said here, Jesus says in his own words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears is the key word, my voice, and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. Did you hear what it says? If anyone hears my voice. The thing to learn is this. Having an effective prayer life as a Christian starts first not with Christ hearing our voice. He loves to hear our voice. He loves to hear what we have to say. And he does. And trust me, he stores them up, as some people use an expression, in a bottle of remembrance. But in order for us to have effective prayer, it starts with us hearing his voice. Because it all starts with Christ. And as we sang, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's not so much about us, even though he knows our needs. We must be those who are his sheep that hear his voice. We see that there are many instances in the New Testament when people heard God's voice. And one example is Peter. Peter, a man of God that God called to preach the gospel, but he knew how to hear God's voice. And we find in the book of Acts that Peter, after he was empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit, we see that he was a man who started praying. And we know this because we have a story from him that shows to us how God spoke to him in a unique and very personal way. And we know that there was a time when the Lord God was wanting to initiate to reach out to the Gentiles, to the people who did not yet already know Christ, recently after Jesus rose from his resurrection. And we see that Peter was praying in the book of Acts, and the Bible tells us that Peter had a vision. God spoke to him, was speaking to him, and revealed something to him. And as Peter was wondering, what was this vision all about? We see that Jesus eventually told them, there are two people coming to your house. Go with them, and I will send you to the man that you will know, and there you will do my will. Why did this all happen? I can tell you plainly and simply, it's because Peter wanted to do the will of God. And the story goes on, and we know what happens, that once Peter went and he was obedient to follow God, we see that God did a great miracle. We see that God touched the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius, and a whole household was saved because of one man's desire to go in and shut himself up in his room with the Lord to hear his voice. This is something that is a lost art today. And the question I want to ask us all is this: how often do we shut in ourselves with the Lord to hear his voice? How often do we say, Lord, I've spoken enough. What do you want to speak to me? Speak to me. Your servant is listening. What are some ways that we can grow in our ability to find that quiet place so that we can be able to hear from the Lord? Some application things I want us to dwell on is this. Be intentional. It's very simple. We know that as humans, when we want to, we say hang out with a friend, we have to be intentional. When we want to spend time with a loved one, it needs to be intentional. You put everything away, you put the phone down, and you say, you know what, I want to do whatever I can so I can spend time with that person. Christ is not very different. He wants us, our hearts, to be intentional to seek him. One thing that I give as an encouragement to myself and to us all is make a set time in your life to say, you know what, Lord, I'm getting ready to go to bed, but you know what, I want to give 30 minutes to spend time with you because you know what, today was a whole lot of clutter, a whole lot of noise. I want to hear your voice. Maybe before you have your long schedule for work, tell yourself, Lord, before, you know, I have to wake up at 7 o'clock to be at work or 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I'm going to wake up 30 minutes before God so I can spend time with you. Why? Because I want to hear your voice before I hear others, because your voice is precious to me. If we're wanting to hear God's voice, let's pray that the Lord God would empower us and strengthen us to do our part so that we can be intentional to separate ourselves and hear his voice. And may the Lord help us with this. Amen. The third thing that, and the last thing, that I believe it is important, absolutely important for us to be able to pray effectively as children of God is this. We must pray with faith. The problem that I found is that oftentimes we fumble in our prayer life because we don't have faith. We oftentimes come before the Lord and we come before him as beggars. Have you ever seen that in your life? You come before God and you're having an issue and you say, Lord, please help me. God, I need you to come through for me. Lord, please do something for me. I'm in trouble. But your prayer only remains that way is a problem. You know why we're called the believers? It's because we're called to believe. We're not called the believers simply because we believe in Jesus, but we believe in him for everything else that follows afterwards. We believe in him that he will raise us up one day. We believe in him that when we pray, he hears us as his children. And we're not children who are orphans. We are children that are named after our Lord, God Almighty, who is the Most High. And he has called us to be people who believe and trust in him, no matter what we're going through, because he's God. Amen. He's our God who is powerful. He is our God that rose from the dead. No other man has done this. And yet so many times we come before God as people like paupers, like people that have nothing, poor people. And we pray and we beg, putting around our hat turned upside down for God to give maybe his spare change. Our God is not like that. Our God is a gracious God, a good father that cares. But he wants us also to believe in him who is awesome. Who we sing about is awesome, who is mighty, who is great, because he is powerful. And I want us to understand that the scriptures is very strict about having faith when we pray. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and mark this down because it's very important, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's what? The rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Having faith in God is important because we serve an almighty God. And in fact, Ephesians puts it so wonderfully here in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory. We must have faith, for without it, we cannot pave the way for God to come into our lives and work. And I tell you, this is the reality. Every time we pray without faith, we do not honor God. We do not honor him. But when we pray with faith, our prayers are a testimony before heaven and earth that we are truly children of God. Because the opposite of children of God are people who do not have faith. It's anti-faith. It's no belief or trust whatsoever. I want to give you a wonderful example of a man who was just like us, who, despite going through moments of difficulty, he still chose to have faith. And I love it. King David was this man, a man truly of faith. And there are two examples that just resonate with me and stick with me as I continue to dwell and read over David and his words. Have you ever noticed that David, even though he goes through difficulty and he's complaining and he's telling God, God, I'm so upset. God, come through for me. My enemies are after me. They're going to overtake me. Do you notice what he always does even after he complains and tells God he's upset? Somebody know? What does he do? He gives glory and praise to God and continues to choose to trust in him. Why? Because he recognizes that his God truly has not changed. And our God has not changed today either as well. Because our God is an almighty and powerful God who is here constantly working, ready to do things in our life because he's the God the same yesterday, today, and forever. And praise be to his name for this. Amen. There's another example of David I just want to share because it's something that just absolutely gives me encouragement when I go through tough times and I can't pray. And if you remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there was a crisis that David was confronted with. And the response that David gave was absolutely important for us to learn from. There was a certain point in time when David was running away from Saul, when he was being pursued by Saul, before Saul was shortly going to die. There was a place in time where David and all his immediate family and his the fellow soldiers and their family were overtaken by a tribe, a people there in that time that stole all the people, the women, the children, the food, everything. And they torched the land and they burned it. And we see that in that ruckus and all that problem, all the people started complaining. All the people were crying, they were weeping, and they were so sad because, you know what, what's going on? They were in despair. And at one point in the scriptures, it says that they turned to David and they thought to stone him. They thought to stone him, blaming him. You brought us here. It was your fault. You took us here. And that's why we're here in this moment in time. But what do we learn from David in that passage? In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, through all of the complaining and through all the heartache, we see that it says here, important words, but David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Amen. Amen. It is so important for us as we live battling, waging war in our prayers to be those who encourage ourselves in our faith. Because brothers and sisters, when you're alone in your prayer closet and there's nobody else there to pray with you, how are you praying? How are you going to encourage yourself? Is it in yourself? Is it in the fact that you have those around you to back you up? Or is it that you have a great and mighty God who is with you right where you are, even though you feel alone? He's with you and he will come through for you. How do you encourage yourself is the question that will allow for us to find that ability to see things be unlocked in our prayer life. Because I tell you, the war is real, and the enemy comes here at our mind, ready to attack us, to bring us down. The key is, how do you encourage your faith when you pray? Pray with faith, because we are known as believers, and God is our God who is awesome, able to work for us, brothers and sisters. How can we apply this to our life? How can we be people who pray more with faith? Simply put, very generally, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oftentimes, we forget that this is the number one thing that grows our faith. How much are you spending your time in His Word? How much are you spending your time in what Jesus calls the bread of life? And what Jesus calls that which is sustenance for you, empowerment for you, strength for you? Because truthfully, it will empower you. It will strengthen you because it's His word that has power. Amen. Another thing that we can do is do exactly what David did. When we're going through rough times, when we're pressed and the enemy is coming at us at the mind level to bring us down, learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Learn to go, and not just when you're alone, go find your brothers and your sisters and those around you and find encouragement through them, that they would empower you and pray for you and strengthen you to get through what you're going through. May the Lord help us with this. Amen. With this said, brothers and sisters, because the time is running short, I want to conclude, and I just want to quickly recap. If maybe you have been feeling in your life that your prayer life has been watered down, maybe your prayer life has been seeming to you as not effective, meditate on the words that you heard today from His word. Remember this. If you want your prayer life to be effective as a child of God, have a kingdom mindset that focuses on His will. Because as we focus on His will, God will provide everything else that we need. Amen. Secondly, remember this. If you want your prayer life to be effective as a child of God, establish a quiet place within your life so that you could hear His voice. Because as you hear His voice, when He stands at the door of your heart and knocks, if you let Him in, He will dine with you and speak to you. Amen. And lastly, remember this. If you want your prayer life to be effective as a child of God, we must pray with faith. Because we serve a God who is alive, who is all-powerful, and can do all things. A God who came down in the flesh and did the impossible, who died and rose again for me and for you. Amen. Praise be to God. With this said, brothers and sisters, God bless you all, and may He bless you abundantly with His grace and mercy. Amen.